Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, whether the press or his staff, or anyone else for that matter, whether they like Donald Trump's tweets or not, they seem to have worked. In fact, one article this morning by journalist Rachel Alexander entitled, quote, "The Genius of Trump's Tweets," end quote. We're going to look at this article in just a minute. And we're also going to involve one of our Stand in the Gap Today's general and our favorite guest, IQ Arasuli, as we focus in this program today on this item with a host of others. I'm going to call the general theme of the program today, when it comes to the danger called Islam, ignorance is no excuse. We're going to talk about certain aspects of things that are happening to help us understand this very real existential threat here in the West and in the United States. Segment two, I'm going to have the theme, an Islamic U.S. strategy alert. Wake up before it's too late. We're going to cover three basic strategies that they're using. Segment three, we're going to go to Saudi Arabia and the change in the Saudi throne. Is it royal taqiyya? Or is it good for Israel and the United States? And then we're going to go to the fourth segment and do what we called before a rapid-fire Islamic primer. Will there be a Q&A session? Very quick questions, very short answers by our Islamic expert, IQ Arasuli. So you don't want to miss one part of the program today. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'm going to be joined again by Dr. Gary Dahl. And, of course, in a minute, our special guest, IQ Arasuli. He is a former Iraqi now living in exile. He's a leading expert on Islam and world religions. He's the author of the trilogy of books, Lifting the Veil, The Many Faces of Muhammad, and the Quran. And because he is calling in from overseas, he gives us a very unique international perspective as well. Gary, let me go to you right now on this article that was just written today, Rachel Alexander, in her title, The Genius of the Trump Tweets. I want to get your response on, let me read just the very first paragraph. She says, quote, "President Donald Trump frequently comes under criticism for tweeting, even from his own advisors. But tweeting is probably the smartest thing that he's done as president. He's able to speak directly to the American people without going through the biased mainstream media filter. The media doesn't get to ask him slanted questions or pick and choose parts of his press releases to publish. Instead, Trump gets immense control over every single sentence he issues, which are then read by millions of Americans," end quote. Gary, let me go to you. We've talked about it before a little bit, but personally, as a citizen, as a pastor, whatever, what have you thought about the president's tweets? Have they bothered you? Have they helped you personally? I'm just curious what your personal response is.
Well, Sam, they certainly haven't bothered me. It reminds me of the days of Ronald Reagan. If you recall, when Reagan went into the White House, he went right to the people. He found out that trying to get things done through the Congress was many times difficult, often delayed, and he got frustrated. So he would go right to the American people. Now, he did it a lot with press conferences and so forth and so on, or speaking directly to them from the Oval Office. Back in his day, there was no such thing as tweeting. That's
You're right.
What birds did. But today, it is a very valid way of communication. You know, I might say things differently than what Donald Trump says, or, I mean, you know, he's right to the point when he tweets, or when he talks, for that matter. But I do think it's good for him, because when he tweets, at least we, the American people, know exactly what he's thinking, and it does motivate people to act one way or the other. And I think in many occasions, it has pushed Congress into action, which is a good thing from my perspective.
Well, I think it's interesting, Gary, and you bring up that fact. It's a communication methodology straight from the president's office to the American people. You cited Ronald Reagan. He did differently, different way, but here again, a similar thing. That's what I think the author here of the article is saying. IQ, if I could, let me bring you in right now into the discussion here. From an international perspective, I'm wondering, how does the international scene, Europe, UK, all of those, how do they respond to President Trump's tweeting? And do you think that it has helped also to bypass the controlled media in Europe and helped the president's words to go directly to the people in Europe and the UK, as an example?
Well, most of the European people, they have their own problems with their own elite, who are doing the same damage to their to the ordinary men and women in the street as the leftists are doing in America. They really think it's a joke that Donald Trump is tweeting. But whether it's a joke or not, he is passing on a message, and they are reading it. So he is bypassing all the news media in America and all the news media in Europe. So it doesn't matter how they look at it. To tell you the truth, I mean, if you ask them, you ask somebody in the street, what do you think? They laugh. But in reality, they don't realize how important it is. But it really is. It's really extremely important to understand that. The men and women in Europe have been so programmed by the media and the elite not to question anything. Hmm. And that's why their elite is allowing Europe to be flooded by mass murderers. They call them refugees. They're not refugees. By the way, I want Americans to understand, there's a difference between refugees and immigrants. A refugee is the one who lands in the first country and stays in that country. But those people are not refugees. What do? They look for which country will give them and provide them with the best financial assistance. Mm. This is what it is. Huge difference. An immigrant...
I agree.
Yeah, but it's so important people understand the difference. And yet people don't understand the difference because the media will not give them the difference.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about a little bit more of that in the program. Let me go to both of you guys here, IQ and Gary, for a quick response. At the end of this article, Rachel Alexander concluded her column by saying, quote, Trump tweeted, now get this, in 2013. Trump tweeted in 2013, quote, sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure. It's not your fault, end quote. Now, she goes on to say, it may have been arrogant, but his success with Twitter has proven his tweeting is sheer genius. He'll go down in history as the president who figured out how to get around the biased media and talk 24/7 to the American people. Gary, I had a pastor friend, and I'll have to be quick on this. Ask a Republican congressman, do you think that Donald Trump is as stupid as the media would have him to put out, or is he crazy, perhaps crazy like a fox? Gary, do you think the president is crazy or crazy like a fox?
Crazy like a fox.
IQ, what do you think? Crazy or crazy like a fox?
100% like a fox.
And that's exactly how the congressman answered. I think he's actually crazy like a fox. Ladies and gentlemen, something to watch and behold. Stay with us. We're going to come right back in the second segment now, and we're going to go to Islamic U.S. strategy alert. We're going to look at three strategies being used that you need to be aware of. We got to have our eyes open to what's taking place. Ignorance really, truly is no excuse when our freedom is at stake. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we continue now into the heart of the program here on Stand in the Gap Today, our general theme, as I mentioned in the last segment, was when it comes to the danger called Islam, ignorance is no excuse. The Islamic war against the West in Europe and the U.S. appears to be moving very quickly. Yet many, too many, in positions of religious and political power are either willingly ignorant of reality, or perhaps they are wolves in sheep's clothing. This segment, we're going to try and touch on just briefly three areas of significant Islamic strategy that they are using. And we're going to ask our guest, IQ Avrasouli, who is one of our favorite guests, but one of the world's leading experts on Islamic activity, to help us in this regard. So, IQ, let me go to you right now with this question here. One of the major strategies of Islam in the United States, at least, seems to be to silence the church and to convince Christians that it's better to pursue unity, even with religions that believe that they need to kill Christians and Jews, being Islam, than alerting their parishioners and those in the pew to that reality. One article I have here before me is entitled, quote, "When Evangelicals Become Useful Idiots for Islamism," end quote. It was written by James Simpson in the American Thinker magazine. I'm not going to get into all of it in this article other than to say this to you. In simple terms, as a matter of Islamic strategy, how important is it in the advance of Islam in taking over a country that there is a weak church or silent pulpits, to put it that perspective, to the strategy of civilization jihad?
It's the number one.
Number one?
It's the number one strategy, literally. You see, because they know the priests have got congregations. So if they convince the priests to speak about a dialogue between Islam and Christianity, it will make the parishioners and the Christians who are listening feel safe. But that's a tragedy. There is no commonality between Islam and Christianity. Zero. Literally zero. And there is nothing to talk about. In Quran, chapter 9, verse 29, it tells you, even the Jews and the Christians have to submit to Sharia in humiliation and degradation. So what are we going to discuss? How bad we will be treated, or how simple we'll be treated? Of course, no, there's nothing to talk about. And any priest, literally any priest, who speaks that we can talk to Muslims and come to a conclusion should be removed. Literally should be removed.
Hmm. That's very interesting, IQ, that you make that in recognition. But, you know, in what you said, and in the way Sam asked the question, we just identified the church and the pulpits as targets for Islam civilization and jihad efforts. You agreed to that based upon Sam's question. But in addition to that, infiltration of government is also a major strategy, with great inroads being made here in the United States of America by Islam. One strategy is to get Muslims elected to public office.
Of course.
We've got one particular illustration, or one case in point, is with Congressman Keith Ellison, who is now a major player in the Democratic Party. And in fact, he was almost elected as the head of the Democratic Party. He is one of them. He recently actually made an astounding announcement about certain mosques in the United States of America that are being targeted. So in light of this, IQ, I would like, if you would please, to explain this circumstance and how this is an example of how civilization jihad is being accomplished through people in office.
The reason they are gaining is because there is not a single American, literally, and I mean a single American in power, who asked the correct question. Take Representative Keith Ellison. He swore on the Quran to protect the United States of America. Bullcrap. It's impossible. The Quran is the nemesis of the Constitution of the United States of America. He used taqiyya, which is deceiving, to deceive non-Muslim Americans. Deceiving infidels, kuffar, is mandated in the Quran. Someone should have asked this traitor, and I call him a traitor because I know he's a traitor. He is Sharia-compliant Muslim. He cannot ever be loyal to either the infidel Americans nor to the U.S. Constitution. Ask this question. How many Americans have been slaughtered by Muslims since 8-11, not 9-11, since 8-11, 2001, for being non-Muslim Americans? And how many Muslims have been killed by Americans since 8-11 for being Muslims? And the answer is zero.
That's interesting. Why do you go back to 8-11, IQ?
Because 9-11 is when 3,000 Americans were slaughtered in a Holocaust.
Right.
So I have to count that in. I don't want to start from 9-11.
So you go back further, basically saying that it's beyond 9-11.
One day. That's what I'm doing. I'm going back one day.
Yep.
The day before 9-11.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, good, IQ. Let me ask you this. I want to take it a little bit further. This, what I'm going to present to you right now probably has not really been discussed, I don't know of anywhere else, on any kind of news network. But you've commented on, as an Islamic strategy and taking over a nation, civilization, jihad, coming in and trying to fool the people, that silencing the church, silencing the pastors in the pulpit, is number one strategy. Because you're saying if you can silence the position of truth, you've already established a basis for inroads and deception. Then you talked about those in office. And Gary asked the question about Muslims being elected to office, Keith Ellison and so forth, as an example. You said clearly that. But I want to go here to this next one. Within government, there is law enforcement. Law enforcement, the enforcing of the laws and keeping track of what would be terrorists and enemies of the nation, that's the purpose of law enforcement. But on this program, we have talked with you before that during the days of Barack Obama, that the CIA director, Brennan, actually was a convert to Islam. He's running the CIA. Well, he should be watching out for the interests of our country, but he wasn't. We do know that there were a lot of individuals, Muslim Brotherhood background, that have been inserted into the FBI. That's a lot of the problem that the president is having in Washington today. I want to ask you this specific question. I'm going to give an example here. I want to ask you a question. I have a friend who is a police chief. He was invited to go down to FBI training centers recently. In that setting, they were taught about counterterrorism. Islam was, in fact, a part of it. But in the discussion with him, within that discussion, there was no mention about the Muslim Brotherhood. Sharia, to them, was there was good Sharia and then there's bad Sharia. They effectively, in that setting, did not mention anything about mosques or what's happening there. And they appeared to be dominated heavily by Sunni Muslims. And that what was being said there was that the Sunnis are good guys, the Shias really are the bad guys. My question to you, IQ, is this. With the developing relationship, the United States and Saudi Arabia, and we're going to talk about Saudi Arabia in the next segment, do you perceive that there is a sense of trickery that's occurring, perhaps, where our own law enforcement is believing a lie that some Sharia, some Muslims, meaning Sunni, are okay and can be trusted, and Shia, Iran, basically, are not? They're the bad boys. I see something here at work. Comment on what you perceive to be what I just related here.
What you have now is a leftover from Obama. In 8 years of Obama, he forbade all your intelligence services, and law enforcement from ever associating Islam with terror. This is where the tragedy is. You still have the leftovers, and until today, Donald Trump hasn't done anything about it. You should clean everybody who was left over from Obama. All of them should be fired. All of them. And new rules should be instituted. Every person in the government of the United States of America, everybody in law enforcement, everybody in the intelligence community must read and study the Quran. It's got to be mandated. And all they have to do is study only chapters 2 to chapters 9. And they don't need to do anything else.
Well, you know, that's interesting, IQ, that in the beginning part of our country, Thomas Jefferson, when we first engaged Muslim terrorists in the Middle East, the Barbary pirates and others, he came back and actually used taxpayer dollars to actually print the Quran so that the American people could actually read it so that they understood why we had been engaged in that war for so long. And what you're saying is that that ought to be done again, but just take and read the first, what'd you say, the first 9 chapters?
Yes. Tragically, most Americans don't read anything. And I'm not being nasty. I'm telling you the truth. They listen to the news. And the news have been lying to them for 60 years. Not 10 years, 60 years. All you have to do is Google Quran. Don't buy the thing. And read chapters 2 to chapters 9. That's all you need to do. And then you know more about Islam than the Muslims.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Standing in the Gap today. Our guest, IQ Ar-Rasooli, and we're talking about the matter of Islam and these things of which we cannot any longer claim ignorance. It does make a difference. When we come back, we're going to go to the matter of Saudi Arabia. There's been a change there in the throne. Who's going to be succeeding the king? And we're going to talk about whether or not that is good for America, long run, good for Israel, or if it's royal tequila. We'll find out in just a minute.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are just joining Stand in the Gap today, I thank you for doing so. And at this point in the program, I often remind our listeners from across the country that, number one, we thank you for being there. Number two, we do want to hear from you. It's important that we hear from you. You can comment on content, on guests. You can pose questions on things that you would like us to cover. Any of those things are very, very helpful to us. Also, as a reminder, you can go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and you can listen there to archived programs that we have on all three of our radio programs. And as well, I encourage you, if you've not done so, download our new app for your iPhone or your Android. It is free. It is very convenient. You get notices every morning, a couple hours before the program, of the theme and the guest that we will have. And you can there communicate to us, as well as you can also there participate and stand with us financially. And I encourage you to consider doing that. Even a few dollars a month would help us significantly, as we have before us opportunities to do a host of more things on this program and further communicate the content. But we need help to do that, and we are a ministry of the American Pastors Network, so we need your help. So you can do that as well. Your iPhone, by go there and put in it and Stand in the Gap in your app store. Your Android, put in the words American Pastors Network. Now, with that being done, let me go right back now. We're going to go to Saudi Arabia and the change there in the throne, that an announcement that the king of Saudi made last week or so, that his son, he's going to actually take his cousin off of the succession pathway to the throne and in place put in his son, Mohammed bin Salman. Now, the question, IQ, to you in this regard, there are some people who are saying, and actually I've heard in some settings, that this younger U.S.-educated Mohammed bin Salman, the son of the King of Saudi, who's now been put there to upwards to become the king, ultimately, that he has given some indication that they may actually go to the point of providing religious liberty in Saudi Arabia, that there's a pro-Western feel to what he is because he's been U.S. Educated. My question to you is, are we seeing a change in Saudi Arabia and their efforts there? I mean, let's face it, they financed most of the 3,000, some over 3,000 mosques here in this country. Is there a change there? Are we seeing royal taqiyya or lying? Or is it possible it's going to work out better for the United States and or Israel?
Well, first of all, it's not up to the new young man to rule. It is up to the religious people who control the whole of Saudi Arabia. It is so important you understand, or Americans got to understand. You cannot separate mosque from state. You can't. Under Sharia, you can't do that. In Egypt.
Now, Sagan, I'm going to interrupt you. What do you mean that you can't separate mosques from state? What do you mean by that?
Because the religious people are the ones who control the state policy. You cannot, for example, all of a sudden say, women do not have to wear hijab. They will not allow it. El-Sisi of Egypt is a very, very nice guy. He really is. And he gave a speech over a year and a half ago at Al-Azhar University, a mosque, the foremost university in Islam, Sunni Islam. And he said to the ulama, that means the religious leaders, do you honestly believe that 1.5 billion Muslims are going to overrule and rule over 7 billion other people? He asked them a question. But look what's happening. They're murdering Christians on a daily basis. They're murdering the Copts, which means it doesn't matter how good the leader is. In the end, unless he can suppress the religious people, like Saddam Hussein used to do, like Mubarak used to do, like Gaddafi used to do, it will never happen. He will not succeed. So taqiyya, by the way, they're not lying. The young man is going to try. There's no question about it. He won't succeed. Let me ask you a question, gentlemen. It's very important. If I offer you all a gift of 100 of the best, most expensive chocolates in the world, but tell you that there is one of them, only one, It is laced with undetectable deadly poison. Would you take them from me?
Not if I knew that up front. No, the answer would be no.
I'm telling you up front, one of them, one, mm-hmm. one out of 100, is deadly. Would you take them?
No, because you never knew which one it would be.
Thank you. Yet the leftists and the apologists for Islam are defying Trump's ban on Muslims from dysfunctional terrorist countries, bringing in tens of thousands of them, knowing that there is 100% probability, not probability, there is 100% certainty that future jihadis are embedded among them. And yet, the media is silent and we the people are silent. I'll give you a simple example. Even 1 in 100, I wouldn't take a risk, and you didn't take a risk. And yet they're bringing tens of thousands of Muslims.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing that we're concerned about here in the States, or at least most of us are, IQ. And that is, you know, I think Donald Trump in putting up that restriction did the right thing, because we never know who is going to be embedded in with that group of people, that group of immigrants that would come into the United States of America with the desire to destroy us. I mean, just opening
but
the door.
I'm not telling you that. And your priests are, by the way, when we were discussing the church, I'll give you another example. The head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, a year ago, said that he read the Quran and he couldn't find any aggressive verses in it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which is a lie. No, what I'm getting at, gentlemen, this is where the jihadis are winning. They had the leader of 1.2 billion people telling his flock, don't worry about Muslims.
Well, that's not only the case, IQ, with the priests or the Pope. I mean, we've got so-called Protestant pastors in the pulpit who are telling their people, in the area in which I live, I know there's a number that are doing that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But, sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, the Pope is a leader of 1.2 billion. Mm-hmm. Other priests can have 20,000, 100,000, 200,000. But what I'm getting at, this is where the failure of the church leaders. They're failing their flock. They are literally betraying Jesus. 100% guaranteed they're betraying Jesus. What more can I tell you?
Well, that's an important thing to bring up, and to every pastor out there who seemingly is silent about what Islam is all about, I would encourage you to take those words of IQ to heart, that if you are not preaching the truth about Islam, you are betraying Jesus. There's a lot of truth to that. And every pastor and every Christian needs to recognize that. I want to change gears just a little bit here, IQ, if you don't mind. And that is that, let's go back to Saudi Arabia. Because about 2 weeks ago, Saudi Arabia condemned Qatar as exposing terrorism and gave them a list of requirements to follow or else. Now, a part of that or else had a July 3rd deadline, which is 1 week from today. And among those lists of things was for Qatar to split from Iranian support, denounce the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as a number of other things. Now, in light of that, over the weekend, Turkey announced that they were sending more Turkish troops to Qatar and condemning the Saudi demand as violating international law. Now, this affair is setting up a real point of conflict in the Middle East and has more than just a few people concerned, by the way. So my question to you, IQ, is what is your take on this developing conflict? Will Qatar yield to the Saudis, or will they further link with their hopes with Turkey and Iran? What are your thoughts?
I'll tell you what. First of all, I was laughing because when Muslims speak about law and international law, this is a contradiction in terms. They never followed international law. They never followed human rights law. Never. So for Turkey to speak about human rights and international law, that's a joke. What is happening now is a continuation of the Sunni versus Shia problem that started when the day Muhammad died 1,400 years ago. Look, one thing America's got to understand, there is no such thing as a good Shia or a good or a bad Sunni, and a good Sunni and a bad Shia. Both of them want us dead. Both of them want us, if not dead, submitting to Sharia. Both of them. So to choose between the two is idiotic, it's stupid, it's useless. What is happening between the two of them, I hope it will continue. Don't worry about it. Because the more they are killing each other, the better it is for the rest of humanity. I know it sounds callous, but it is not callous. Because if they unite, we have a huge problem, a bigger problem. For as long as they're killing each other, we have less of a problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in a Gap today. We are on the theme here when it comes to the danger called Islam. Ignorance is no excuse. We're trying to get information of critical importance, because we know, by and large, government's not telling us, the media is not telling us the truth, and unfortunately, neither is the church. Now, in this last segment, we're going to go into a rapid-fire Islamic primer, I call it. I have a lot of questions I'm going to pose to IQ. He's going to give short, quick answers, and hopefully we're going to go down through about 8 or 9 or 10 questions, key questions. I think you'll enjoy it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible.
In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get ready. We're going to go very quick here, so listen very carefully and quickly. And again, if you can't remember all of these things, go to our website afterwards, standinthegapradio.com, and you can pick this up. But I'm going to go into now a quick, what I'm going to call it, rapid-fire Islamic primer. And IQ, we've done this before a year ago. I want to do it again. And you are very good at answering questions with short answers, but answer what you need, but take as short a time as possible. We're going to try to go through a lot of key questions. Are you ready to go, sir?
Ready, go.
All right. In your opinion, what is the most effective and dangerous lie perpetrated by Islamic jihadists to Christians in the United States and Europe?
With all due respect, there is no such thing as Islamic jihadists lying. They don't lie. They tell you the truth. They want us exterminated. What you should have said, stealth jihadists. And what do the stealth jihadists tell us? That Islam is an Abrahamic religion. That Allah is the same as the God of the Bible. So when you see people... And the people that I'm talking about are people like Kerr, C-A-I-R, Keith Ellison, and Linda Sarsour. They are the stealth jihadis.
All right, and you would say that the lie told to Jews, we're all fathers, children of Abraham, are basically the same thing. That lie to Christians and Jews is basically the same. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. They want us exterminated. I mean, what is there to discuss?
Okay, let's go ahead. The second question. Across America, there are Islamic billboards that are up on freeways paid for by front groups from the Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, and Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, that say this: Jesus was a Muslim. That's right. They say that. My question to you is, what strategic message are they trying to convince the American people about in a message like that?
That Jesus believes in Allah, their pagan god, and that he is not God.
So basically, that ties in with a lie that you just talked about.
Absolutely. It's all connected. Everything about Islam is lies.
Okay, let's go to the next question. In Christendom, we believe Jesus to be the Son of God, yet all man. In Islam, Jesus is also highly respected, but there are major differences. What would you say are the major differences in regard to the belief in Jesus, Islam, compared to Christianity?
Simple. Jesus in Islam is only human, not God, not divine.
All right, that's the major one. So Jesus to Islam is not God. Let me ask you this question. According to Islam, when Jesus comes back, and they believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's going to come back, what will Jesus do, according to Islam, when he comes back?
He will destroy Christianity.
He will take Jews and Christians to hell, correct?
Absolutely. He will destroy, them because they're unbelievers.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We're still going through here. Now, in simple terms, let me go ahead here now, IQ. What is the difference between militant jihad and civilization jihad?
There is no such thing as civilizational jihad because jihad is destructive. It's not a builder. The term should be stealth jihad again and again and again. It is stealth jihad. They have no civilization.
All right. That's a very good point. No such thing as civilization jihad, ladies and gentlemen. Stealth
doesn't exist.
Jihad. Okay. Let me go ahead. What's the major point of controversy between Sunni Muslims, Saudi Arabia, and Shia Muslims, Iran? What's the point of controversy?
Okay. First of all, both hate non-Muslims. That's 80% of humanity. The hatred for each other between the two of them resides on only one item. Who should lead the Muslim world as a Khalifa? Should it be a one descended from the bloodline of Muhammad, or could it be anybody who is a Muslim but who knows how to lead the Muslim community? That's all the difference. There's nothing else.
Okay. Next question. While there are differences, as you cite, between Shia Islam and Sunni Islam, can either one of them ever be a true friend to the United States or to the West then?
Never, 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 never. Full stop. Next.
All right. Then in your opinion, Saudi Arabia right now there's in a coalition with the United States. They are condemning right now the Muslim Brotherhood. They're trying to get Qatar to do the same thing, condemning the Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Does that therefore mean that Saudi Arabia disagrees with the goals of the Muslim Brotherhood, or just maybe their tactics?
It's tactics. All Muslims speak from both sides of their mouth, which is Allah and Sharia sanctioned deception called taqiyya. Everything about Islam is deception.
All right. So Saudi Arabia condemning the Muslim Brotherhood are all about tactics. They are not disagreeing with the Brotherhood in their effort to produce any kind of stealth jihad. That's what you're saying. Not at all. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. 100%.
Okay. Let's go here. If the United States and Europe were to awaken to the reality of this Islamic goal to destroy our respective nations, if we would actually woke up, what would be done by those in political power and or the church as a counter to the threat?
We have to use draconian rules. For example, first of all, you stop all Muslim immigration. 100% you stop it. Second, you make the Quran illegal. Why? Because it incites the followers of Muhammad, called Muslims, to never be friends to non-Muslims. There's nothing difficult about what I'm telling you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's all factual. And it's all simple. You stop immigration, you make the Quran illegal because it incites people to kill.
All right, very good. Let me go ahead. From a security and information perspective, IQ, if you could identify maybe 1, 2, 3, the most important facts for American patriots, American Christians to know about Muslims in America and their goals for conquest, what would they be?
First of all, read the Quran. Chapters 2 to chapter 9. Second of all, never believe the Muslim will be loyal to you. Never. Because it is mandated in the Quran that they cannot be loyal to you under Sharia. And 3, never listen to the news media. Always double check, triple check. You don't believe anything? Come to my website or come to Sam Rohr's website. Don't listen to the media. They will lie to you 24 hours, 7 days, 365. Back to you.
All right, very good. 2 quick questions here, then we'll be done here at the end here. And then, Gary, I want you to pray for us. Is there any real difference between Sharia and Sharia law?
It's the same thing. No difference. Go.
Okay. If you can identify, what's the most dangerous aspect of Sharia to anyone who is a Christian, Jew, or loves freedom?
No freedom. They want to submit. They want us to submit or to be exterminated.
All right, so that's basically what you're saying. Sharia says you submit or you be exterminated. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, can Islam, last one, ever be separated from Sharia, or Muslims ever modify Sharia, including the young potential king of Saudi Arabia?
Beautiful question. No, never.
Never possible. Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
never possible.
You heard a quick list of questions right there from IQ Al-Rasuli. I would encourage you, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, pick up the archives from this. Quite a primer just given here in this segment and on the rest of the balance of the program. Gary, can I go to you right now as we close the program in prayer, please, for us, these issues and all that are before us in this country? We need God's help.
Father, it is my prayer that you will give us all wisdom and understanding in realizing the way that Islam really is, how they attempt to deceive people of the world. Give us the wisdom to understand that, to recognize it, and to speak the truth in the face of the deceit of Islam. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen, and our guest, special guest, IQ Al-Rasuli, for being with us as well. Join us tomorrow again, if you would, just 23 hours from now. And until then, stand in the gap for truth, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you are, you may be the only light the world sees.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.